$85 an hour organizing other people's photos. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. It's the business podcast you can actually apply. And on the docket today, a side hustle I've never heard of that can pay $5,000 plus per project. You're going to love it. It's photo organizing, and apparently it's in high demand. My guest says she's got more than enough work to keep herself busy full-time and has built a six-figure business in the process. From mymemoryfile.com, Cheryl DeFrank, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Nick. I'm thrilled to be here.
Me as well. Looking forward to this one. Stick around. We're going to learn how all of this works, who it might be a good fit for, and how to get this thing off the ground. But I want to talk about this transition moment from, really? There are people who would pay me to do this, to actually landing that first client. Walk me through the early days of the My Memory File business.
It was quite a surprise to me. I was kind of in between jobs, trying to figure out what my next thing was going to be. I was just helping a friend organize her digital photos, all her photos on her phone and her computer. And she just couldn't handle it and was overwhelmed. And so I was just helping her out, just getting things organized. And she said to me, she said, you should do this as a job. And I thought, that's crazy. Yeah. That's not a job. That's not a thing. So I kind of dismissed it. And I just happened to be talking to my sister who lives in a different state. It's a crazy idea that my friend had. And my sister said, oh, yeah, I have a friend that does that. And I just thought, what in the world that there is actually somebody who does this?
Yeah, this is a thing.
This is a thing. At least this woman has figured out how to do this. And then my sister said to me, yeah, and my friend who does this is a member of an organization, a trade association of photo organizers. And I thought, well, that's crazy that there's not only one, but apparently there's more than one.
It's big enough to have its own association. Yeah,
exactly. To have their own association. So obviously I got in touch with this friend of my sister who put me in touch with the organization, which is called the Photo Managers. And the rest is history. As soon as I kind of decided, I was so excited. I learned kind of the potential. I talked to other photo organizers. I decided to kind of go with it. And pretty much from the get-go, as soon as I talk to people and tell them what I do, their reaction is always, oh my gosh, I need to hire you. I had no idea that I could hire somebody to do this. They're just thrilled. And granted, not everybody turns into a client, of course, but the number of people who are just so excited and thrilled to know they could hire somebody to do it is the same thing. We're all capable of cleaning our own homes, but many of us don't want to, or we just don't have the bandwidth to do it. And this is a much, much bigger project, a much more emotional project for many people. It creates so much stress for them, knowing that their photos are in the attic, and heaven forbid if the house burns down, or gosh, I wish I could find that picture of my great-grandmother, or what happens? I'm so worried that my phone's going to fall in the toilet and I'm going to lose all the pictures of my kids. And they are just so thrilled to know that there's somebody that will help them with it.
Okay.
A lot of times I'll be at like a cocktail party or something where everyone says, oh, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And, oh, I'm a lawyer. Okay, great. Or, oh, I'm a whatever. Okay, great. Oh, well, I'm a photo organizer. And everybody stops. Like, I mean, they're just so curious and excited and so on. So it has been a great ride. It has been a great career.
It's fascinating because, right, I mean, we're 600 episodes into this show and I never heard of it as a thing. There's this education component in the marketplace that you could hire somebody like Cheryl to come and help you out with this heavy anxiety feeling of how do I digitize? How do I back this stuff up? How do I organize? Like, there is a lot of emotion surrounding that and a level of trust and like, well, how would somebody else do it the way that I would want it done and all of that. So you find the Photo Managers, there's a professional organization. And we had another guest who he was talking about starting a software business. He's like, if it is a big enough industry to have its own association, it's worth going after. If it's more niche than that, maybe not. But what happens from that point, your sister says, I've got a friend of mine who's doing this. From that point to first paying customer or practicing for free first with another friend? Or like, how do you go from zero to one here?
It was pretty quick. The friend that I was helping who had this initial idea, who I will always credit to me being in this business. So I did her photos for free to kind of get some confidence and just kind of see how it worked or if I was able to, really. And then I just started talking to friends. And my first actual paying client was another friend who just said, hey, can you help me out with the photos on my phone? Because they're such a mess. And I know I've got so many duplicates. Everybody has tons of duplicates. It was a relatively small project, but I helped her out and she was grateful. And then she just started talking to other people. A lot of people would say, to start with friends and family. And that's a good idea. I mean, they obviously will already kind of have a certain amount of faith in you and already want to support you. But it can also be a little bit hard to work with friends and family. So I kind of started spreading the word as quickly as possible. I'm on a neighborhood listserv, so which is kind of like Nextdoor. Okay. It's basically an email listserv. All the families in my kids' school are on a listserv. All the people that belong to our pool are on another listserv and so on. So you've got all these different kind of groups. Either I would post something about my services, and sometimes there's rules about self-promotion, but either I would post something or a friend would post something for me, kind of maybe even a scripted thing like, hey, you guys wouldn't believe this person I found to organize all your photos and give her a call. And of course, now, years later, my previous clients will post things on their own listservs. So just the word kind of spreads. And the phone hasn't really stopped ringing in 10 years based on just kind of word of mouth. I always say, like, someone told me early on, and this is probably true in every business, someone told me early on to put your company name and kind of a little tagline and what you do at the bottom of every single email you write, no matter who you're sending it to, whether it's a business email or not. Yeah, and it's not a new concept, but in my case, because it is so unique, I'll send an email to somebody about my son's lacrosse game or something, or lacrosse team, and they'll see what I'll do, and they'll write me back having nothing to do with lacrosse, but say, wait, what is that you do? I see you're a photo organizer. Yeah. Like, what's that? And then it might turn into a job, might turn into a project.
It's a conversation starter, if nothing else, and we've talked about that.
It absolutely is.
That email signature space, underutilized marketing real estate in some cases. I was assuming this was going to be almost all digital, but when starting locally, I guess maybe it is in person. So it's that box in the attic. It's like the physical pictures. And so does it need to be kind of a local radius for it?
It's both. It's really both. The three main areas of photo organizing. Number one is the print photos. These are usually maybe older families that still have print photos in the attic. You know, it's a mess. They've been hiding up there for years. And so they'll give me the boxes of print photos for me to organize and sort. And usually it's chronologically. For the most part, because there is a physical exchange there, those are usually local clients. But I've had people mail me boxes and boxes of photos from other places. So that's one area. And then the other area is digital photo organizing, which is, again, the photos on the phone and the hard drives and all those little camera cards that we have in all kinds of drawers around the house and so on, that clients also have no idea where everything is or what's on these hard drives. So in that case, again, it certainly can be local, but then you can have people either send me hard drives or sometimes, for instance, and we'll log into their online storage. So for instance, I can log into a person's iCloud or a person's Google Photos or something, obviously with their permission, and organize straight online and never meet the client in person. And then the third aspect, which is kind of one of the main areas, is scanning or digitizing photos. There are certain photo organizers that just do that. So they just do scanning and they don't really even do the sorting process. So there's lots of different aspects. And then there's other kind of offshoots like just creating photo books. There are certain organizers, their specialty is creating photo books for all kinds of different events or slideshows, kind of anything having to do with photos that a lot of people either just have no idea how to do or don't want to spend the time figuring it out. Or the other thing too is working with your own photos, whatever you're doing, whether you're sorting them, whether you're creating a slideshow, trying to pick the photos for the slideshow, is a very emotional process when you're working with your own photos. So what I tell clients, which is true, is there's no emotion for me. So I can do it much, much faster. And I'm not reliving my son's 3-year birthday party in the process and so on.
Yeah, it takes three times as long because you're going through everything again.
Right, right.
All right.
So yeah, so there's a variety of different ways, different things you can do in the business.
Was there anybody else doing it in your neighborhood or was it a blue ocean when you were starting out?
There were definitely people locally. When I first joined the photo managers, that was 10 years ago, they put me in touch with some people that were in my local area. I'm in near Washington, D.C. So there's kind of the tri-state D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. So they did. They put me in touch with a few other people and we would get together periodically locally just to kind of compare notes and just support each other and so on. One of them is now still one of my closest friends. She lives about 20 minutes away and we see each other, but we text daily, kind of, hey, what would you do in this situation and so on. Actually, one of the nice things about the photo managers is they will create regional groups. We actually now meet once every 2 months with people in the Mid-Atlantic region, obviously by Zoom, but just kind of compare notes and ask each other questions, share stories about projects and so on.
All right. I looked up photo organizing near me, and sure enough, this company has got 29 five-star Google reviews. They've been in business for a while. Like, somebody is doing it. It's interesting, but it doesn't seem too cluttered, because I think the third result is Yelp, and it says the best photographers in Sammamish. Like, well, that's not exactly what I'm looking for here. That's a different skill set.
Right, right. The good news, the reality is that you're right. It's still not saturated at all. Even in New York City or major metropolitan areas, there may be several, at least members of the photo managers organization, doing it. And there are some professional photographers who I've seen who are getting into it, who may not be members of the association, but there are people getting into it. But there is definitely plenty of business to go around. I mean, I can't stress enough that even in our local area, there is absolutely no feeling of competition or competitiveness. It is really very collaborative. We talk all the time. And sometimes, again, my colleague in Virginia will refer a client to me or vice versa if she just doesn't want to come up to Maryland. It's a very collaborative.
Customers aren't in the position of getting multiple competitive bids and saying, well, Cheryl said she would do it for this price.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've come across that maybe once in 10 years. And in that case, again, we realize that they're doing competitive bidding and we kind of collaborate. It's not a competitive thing. It's not like we say, well, I'll do it for a little less to get the job, because that never really works out anyway.
Okay. So taking a look at the local competition, maybe not too much was going on, and even still today, not crazy oversaturated. But then opening up the local marketing playbook in terms of your local neighborhood Facebook groups, the Nextdoor pages, the local listservs, and almost playing this education game of here's what I do to the extent that self-promotion is allowed. One of the creative ones we heard recently was, I just got my truck wrapped from this great truck wrap company. But of course, the picture of the truck is blazoned with this business's logo. You're ostensibly plugging the car wrap company, but subtly plugging yourself as well. And then if you can have happy customers post that on your behalf, that's something that we see really commonly in our neighborhood Facebook group. Hey, if anybody needs a painting recommendation, we just had so-and-so out and they were fantastic. If anybody needs a handy person, you got to give these guys a call. And so we hear that all the time.
Absolutely.
Anything else on the local or even online marketing front, like to what extent does SEO come into play, or do you have to do any paid acquisition? Maybe some percentage of the customer base is like actively seeking this out, but it sounds like it's almost more like, you know, somebody who had this done and then they tell, like, is that a typical customer flow?
I think that's a lot of it. Marketing and how to get clients is always a big topic of conversation in photo manager meetings and just among our groups and so on. And I do think that word of mouth is a lot of it. There's such a trust factor here, right? Because whoever you're going to give your photos to, you have to trust that they're going to take care of them and trust that they're going to be confidential and so on. So I think there's such an amount of trust that it really is so valuable getting that referral from either someone that they trust or a previous client who's actually worked with me. As far as like online marketing in terms of social media, honestly, I don't do a lot of it. And quite honestly, probably partially just because I am not a great person at constantly posting, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. And I say this all the time too, I have been intending to put together a marketing plan for 10 years. And I just haven't had time because I've been too busy with paying clients.
I'm busy doing the work. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, it's still important to have it. I just haven't gotten around to it. However, I certainly do know that there are plenty of photo managers who are much better at that, who get a fair number of clients. Again, you can get remote clients with the digital organizing or people sending you their photos because they don't know of anybody in their local area and they're thrilled to find you. They'll send you the boxes of photos. I have a colleague in Colorado who a client sent her a bunch of stuff from, I think, the Midwest or something. One of the things I had done early on was you have like those school auctions, right? Parents are donating things or either items or a week at a beach house or something. And I would donate 2 or 3 hours of my time. But the nice thing is you get the chance to do a nice display of what you do. And again, it catches people's attention because it's photo organizing. And the nice thing is that 2 or 3 hours of my time was only going to scratch the surface of a project. So I'm giving away 2 or 3 hours of my time, but I know that they're going to most likely end up paying me for many more hours because the project itself is just going to require that much more.
More with Cheryl in just a moment, including how much she charges for this work, potential startup costs, and how AI may impact the business. Right after this. One of the things we had the kids do at the start of the summer was to write down their summer bucket list. These are the things that they want to make sure to do before school starts again. Things like go blueberry picking, climb Little Sai, that's a hike near us, go to the conveyor belt sushi place, stuff like that. And as we knock these out, we cross them off the list. Well, I've got something to add to your summer bucket list if you haven't taken care of this already, and that's to set up your term coverage life insurance through our sponsor, Ladder, today. It takes just minutes. You can even do it on your phone. All you have to do is answer a few questions about your health, and then Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're instantly approved. That's right. No doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you're applying for $3 million in coverage or less. Ladder policies are issued by insurers with long, proven histories of paying claims. That's why they're rated A and A plus by AM Best. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel at any time. You can even get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. It's no secret. Life insurance costs more the longer you wait. So now's the time to cross this off your list and get back to your summer. So go to ladderlife.com/hustle today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/hustle, ladderlife.com/hustle. And big thanks to Ladder for sponsoring the show. That's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers in-person selling too? It's true. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. That means you can accept payments, manage inventory, and track every sale across your business in one place. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. You can take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. So do retail right with Shopify. Go ahead, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sidehustle to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/sidehustle. Yeah, what's typical? How do you figure out how much to charge for this stuff?
I mean, I will say that is hard. I tell my clients off the bat that it's really impossible to know exactly how much it's going to cost. And I know there are other photo managers who are better at kind of giving an estimate, or they feel that they need to give an estimate. I have not, because every project is so different and you really don't know what you're going to get until you kind of dig into it and get into kind of those boxes of print photos or the hard drive of photos or whatever it is, that I will usually kind of say, we'll check in every 6 hours or 8 hours or a number that we agree that Kyan and I agree on to give them a sense of where we are. But I would say an average project of, again, let's say 4 boxes of photos from the attic, I would probably say just to get those sorted and organized is probably 15 hours. That's after having done it for a long time. So 15 to 20 hours. And then if you're going to scan on top of that, of course, that's obviously more time. But a lot of it depends on if they want to scan everything or if they just want to scan kind of a select percentage and so on. So it just depends every time.
Yeah. And then what's the hourly rate? And has that evolved over time, or are you just kind of set on it?
The average hourly rate for what we do across the US, and of course, it depends on your market, but the average hourly rate is $100 an hour. I can confidently say that there's plenty of people that are charging more than that. I would say the minimum is $50 an hour. That's kind of just for someone starting out. So most projects are probably minimum 20 hours to do. So that's a nice little chunk of change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you may not take very many clients to hit your income goals, but it is, you are working for it. You're doing the manual hands-on organizing and everything else, but pretty strong hourly rate for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice that the hours can be very flexible, right? First of all, very few clients have hard and fast deadlines. They're just so happy to hand it over to you that they don't necessarily need it done by a certain time, which can be good and bad, right? It's good that there's no pressure on us. Sometimes the people with absolutely no deadline, it's easier to put them off or kind of think there's no rush with that.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is it's flexible. If you've got kids or family obligations or family events that you want to participate in and can't work one day or one week, it's not necessarily a problem with most projects.
So that makes it a good side hustle. Like I can do it after hours, I can do it after the kids go to bed, I can just squeeze it into the gaps in my day, provided I have like some workspace to spread out and do the physical sorting and scanning.
Yeah. If you're doing the physical just sorting of prints, probably all you would really need is some space to spread out. And honestly, I have an office here that I use that I have computers and so on, but it doesn't have a lot of space for me to spread out on a big table. I use my dining room table. If I haven't finished a project, I'll kind of put it aside, obviously, when we're using the dining room table, but then I go back to the dining room table. So the nice thing is the investment of equipment for that part of the project is minimal. You really don't need much but some rubber bands and photo-safe pencils and sticky notes, really.
I'm thinking like the scanner is probably the biggest ticket investment.
Yeah.
Something that can get through it quickly.
Right, right. So as far as a scanner, a lot of photo organizers, especially when they're starting out, will use what we call a speed scanner or a feed scanner, kind of where you feed the photos through and it goes quickly. And a good one, a professional one, is probably around $500. So it's a bit of an investment. But again, think about the fact that we usually charge, it ends up working out to be about $1 an image to scan. Most people are going to have at least 500 pictures to scan in most projects. So that's usually paid for itself in one project.
And one thing that's cool is like once their images are digitized, especially if it's this old grainy photo, you can run it through some AI image upscaler and like you can make this like almost digitally remastered type of thing. That kind of begs the next question of, well, what's the role of AI, especially on the digital side, to say like, look, you took 13 shots of your kid blowing out the candles at his birthday party. Which one is the keeper here? Like, we don't need 13 of them. And the AI tool will help you pick. And I don't know what algorithm it's running through. Do you use any of that stuff to help speed up the digital culling side?
Sometimes. There are some software options out there that will kind of start that process for you, right? They don't really know who the key players are necessarily in the family. Like that's one of the things I learn as I'm going through these thousands of photos from a family is you learn who the important people are, right? Just who constantly shows up in photos. The software sometimes is helpful in, yes, figuring out of the 13 almost identical pictures of the group, which one is the best.
Yeah, it could detect like who has their eyes open.
Exactly.
Like, it can do that kind of stuff. But you're right. It doesn't know, well, which kid is
right,
your kid?
Right.
You know, maybe over time it would learn that. I don't know.
I mean, facial recognition software has been around for ages and you kind of have to teach it as a person progresses in age that, yes, this was Johnny as a baby and that's him as 5 and that's him as 10 and so on. So it does get better. I think it's going to be quite a while before they replace us. And again, with the print photos, there's no AI until they're digitized, but there's still a lot of work to be done there. And again, it's such a personal process in many cases that you really do have to kind of get to know the family and the people in the photos.
Okay. I'm going back to your, you know, maybe it's 20 hours times $100 an hour average rate. I'm already at $2,000. And that's just for the photos. If you want to scan stuff, that it's extra. It could be thousands and thousands of dollars into this project. And it's got to be an affluent customer base. It's got to be like, who's paying for this stuff?
So it's interesting. There's no question that a lot of my clients are clients with a decent amount of disposable income, no question. But then there's also clients where this is just a really important thing to them. This is more important than going to Europe every year, or this is more important than getting the newest car. This is kind of where they want to invest their money because it's their family memories. I definitely would say that I have clients in varying levels of income and disposable income. There's no question that there are clients who, when I do quote my price, they say, oh, I just can't afford that. And I mean, it's unfortunate. And sometimes I will try and figure out a way to help them. Or maybe, for instance, maybe I'll say, okay, look, I will sort and organize the print photos for you because you really can't do anything until that's done. And then you can buy the scanner and do the scanning yourself or not. We can meet again next year. And we can do the second phase of the project. I've definitely had clients who we pause at different times and kind of pick it up again when they're ready to.
Okay, right. As timing and budget allows and everything. And this is like, this is hard. It's like, you keep making more photos every month that goes by. You're like, oh, dang, I took more pictures.
Right.
And now eventually I got to build a system around this. Otherwise, I'm going to have the same problem again.
Yeah. I think it does also make our clients, I mean, first of all, they realize they've gotten themselves into this situation, just again, especially when it comes to the digital photos, because we all, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Absolutely. I can't help myself but hit the shutter three or four times with the same scene just in case.
Yeah, the film is free. Let's
exactly,
keep going.
Yeah. Exactly. So I am guilty of the same thing, but then I end up thinking, gosh, this is crazy. Why did I do that? And we get ourselves into this situation, and it actually has started to change my photo habits because I realize, okay, look, I don't need 12 versions of that photo because even the one with that person's eyes closed, I still have the memory of that great moment and that great party. So it's interesting. People start to realize their photo taking habits change.
This is what I try and do on the return flight from any trip. It's something I could do in airplane mode. It's like, okay, well, I took those 13 shots. Let me favorite the best one and get rid of the rest. Something to kill time on the airplane. On those sales calls, so you're kind of ballparking, I really don't know how long this is going to take, but here's my hourly rate. You could start off with this. This is the order of operations I would suggest going in. We can check in. And then you get the balk of like, whoa, 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 I'm starting to add this up and it's going to be thousands of dollars. What kind of common objections or handling do you have to do at that point?
I think the smartest thing to do and the best thing to do is to prepare them up front and not to try and sugarcoat it and not to try and say, oh yeah, I think I can probably do this in 10 hours or something.
Yeah.
Because very often it does end up taking longer than anyone hoped that it would. That's just the way it is. I mean, I certainly always try and reinforce the fact that it's still going to take me a lot less time than it would take them. Granted, they're not paying anybody if they do it themselves, but it will take at least twice as long because of that whole emotional factor.
Do they give you an answer key? Like, here's the family and arrows pointing to like who's who. So you go back and you see this picture from 50 years ago and you're like, well,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if this is an important one. Like, it seems very personal in a lot of ways where it would be hard to delegate.
It is very personal. And to answer your first question, in every intake meeting that I have with a new client, we go through a list of not only photo gathering, but information gathering, all the important birth dates of everybody, wedding dates, depending on how far. Sometimes we're going backwards in generations, right? Grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. And sometimes we're really just dealing with the last 20 or 30 years of my clients' children's lives and kind of just going forward. And I always say you get the birth dates and so on because it's, especially if there's children in the photo, you can tell a one-year-old from a three-year-old from a five-year-old and so on. And so that's an easy way to figure out when the picture was taken, pretty close. So we gather all kinds of information, again, about birth dates, wedding dates, death dates. If there's somebody in the picture that I know died in 1981, then I know it's obviously at least prior to 1981. You really get to recognize faces. I've gotten very familiar with recognizing people's faces at different ages, even adults from their childhood to adulthood. You get to know who the important players are. And yes, hopefully the client can point out, this is my parents, this is my husband's parents.
And it's primarily, give me this box or give me these boxes and I'm going to take it back to my workshop. You don't need to be involved. Or do you have people wanting to be going through photo by photo and explaining the backstory of this? And like, is that important? I can imagine keep or toss.
Yeah. I have had one, I think maybe literally one client in 10 years who kind of insisted, and quite honestly, this was early on and I probably should have insisted to her that that's not the most efficient way to do it. But I was early on in the career and I thought, okay, we'll sit and we'll do this together. It was exhausting for her, exhausting for me. It went so slowly because again, she would tell me a story about every picture, which was lovely and was probably therapeutic for her. But I mean, she was paying for a lot of extra time. And I do tell people that because some people just assume that's how we're going to do it because they think, well, Cheryl, how could you possibly do it? So we're going to have to do it together. And I explain to them again, how long it's going to take if we do it together and how emotional and just stressful it's going to be for them to do it because they don't want to throw away anything. But for the most part, they have to make, it's like making a decision every time they're looking at a photo and that's exhausting. So we kind of build this trust. Throughout the initial part of this project, they learn to trust me and I try and communicate with them as much as possible. And then I think a lot of it comes down to, here's your choices. The choice is you can do this on your own. I'm talking to the client. Your client can do this on their own and go through the pictures and sort them and kind of curate them themselves, which in my mind, I'm pretty sure is not going to happen because never gets to the top of the to-do list. Or we can go through it together, which is just going to take twice as long. I really am happy to do that for your comfort level, but it's going to take twice as long. Or you can trust me. And I will go through and I will pick out the best representation of every year or event or vacation or whatever it is. I'm not going to throw away anything. I'm never going to throw anything away. I'm just going to put the best pictures that I think are the best representation in a separate pile. And you can review them. You can review the ones I didn't choose. And if there's any you want to put, again, they're never going to do that because it's just an overwhelming task. But they're just so happy to have a curated collection. I tell them, I will make sure to select something from every event, even if they're kind of blurry, so that you can remember that you went there. That was that dinner at that restaurant or whatever it is. Be comforted in the fact that I won't skip over any events.
More with Cheryl in just a moment, including how she's growing the business beyond Hours for Dollars right after this. That kind of digitizing service or scanning service, that would be, in my mind, maybe top of the funnel. Like, that's what I think I need. I want to digitize this stuff. And then maybe I'm going to go through, like, is that where customers come in and be like, that's part of the solution, but then what we really got to do is step two, three, and four.
Well, and truthfully, scanning really should be step two, because if you scan, if we take that big...
You don't need to scan everything.
No, you don't need to scan everything, and you don't really even know what you have until you organize it. Scanning an unorganized mess, you just end with a digital mess. And it is really harder to sort those scanned photos after they've been scanned. So for instance, if you think about the fact that I've got a box of print photos and I've got my dining room table fully clean and I can just spread everything out on the dining room table and kind of make different piles for different years and so on or different people, I can kind of just see the whole thing at once as I'm working on it. But once it's all scanned, you're confined to a computer screen to kind of figure out where things go. We tend to kind of default to, you really should organize first and then decide what you want to scan, because you'll probably end up scanning less. You'll actually end up saving money on the scanning step.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you see a future where you're the CEO and then you have subcontracted photo managers? It sounds like at the moment it's, you're wearing all the hats right now, like a solo service provider.
I definitely am trying to grow my business. There's no question. Okay. And the way that I feel comfortable doing it is with employees. So I actually do have two people that work for me part-time that just do some of the tasks that I can hand off to them. And one of them I'm training. Obviously, the intent is to train them to do more. That's at the moment how I am growing my business. I can charge my hourly rate for what they're doing, because they're basically doing what I would do.
What are the different levers you can pull, right? We could serve more clients, we could raise rates, we could expand to new geographies.
Right. And passive income is another one. You mentioned subcontracting. And actually, that's what a lot of photo organizers do, work with other organizers. So for instance, and actually the kind of sorting, scanning steps is a great example. So there are some photo organizers that don't want to deal with scanning. They just either don't want to invest in the equipment, or they may think it's boring. So they'll do the sorting part and then they'll subcontract out to another organizer to do the scanning part. And it works great. They can either do it in a sense that I'm going to pass this client on to you, to my colleague, and my colleague is going to give me a percentage of what they charge the client. Or I'm just going to, everything's still going to come through me. I'm going to bill the client, but we're going to agree on what you're going to charge me for the scanning, and I'm probably going to mark it up to the client and so on.
Yeah. Are you setting everybody up with their own cloud account? Like, that would be another potential, really common in web development. Like, hey, we'll build your website, but then we'll also host it and we'll charge this ongoing maintenance fee, hosting fee. Is like something like that for like the cloud backup storage for the stuff?
I definitely don't host anything. It's just not a business I really want to get into. But there are definitely services. So in general, the goal usually is for any client is, okay, whatever we're doing for you, whether it's just digital photo organizing or sorting and scanning and digitizing things, whatever it is anything that is ultimately digital, we want to make sure is backed up, because you don't want to lose that hard drive or that flash drive or wherever the scans are. So we certainly encourage people to back up in kind of multiple places, and one of them being online, one of them actually being offline. And a lot of that comes down to the client's comfort level or where they already are. So for instance, if there's a client that already is all Apple, right, and they use iCloud and Apple Photos, we might put the things we scanned, we might add to their Apple Photos. So now that everything's in one place. Or same thing with Google Photos, if they use that. There's other options. There's one called forever.com, which is a great website. It is strictly for Photos is strictly for a family photo archives. And it's a great platform, very easy to use platform. This is, again, kind of a passive income option where it does need to be set up by a photo manager. Basically, it's an affiliate-based program. So if I have a client who wants to use Forever, they're going to pay the fee Forever and so on, but they're going through me. And anything that they purchase through Forever, or if they have to add additional space, anything they pay Forever, I then get a percentage.
Okay, like a reseller fee or...
Right, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Is that recurring every year when it renews or something?
No, Forever itself is actually a one-time fee, which is why it's very appealing to a lot of people. It's a higher fee because it's one time and it's based on how much space you're taking up. But there's a lot of families who really just, they just want to know that it's taken care of. It's guaranteed for, I can't remember exactly, but it's guaranteed forever.
Right, forever, exactly. You would think, yeah.
And of course, there's safeguards to put in place to make sure that it passes down to family members and so on. So it's a really popular platform that a lot of photo managers use with their clients as a backup.
Okay. Yeah, that may be more organized. I think most of my stuff is like Google Photos right now, but forever.com. All right, we'll plug that. What surprised you the most? You've been doing this for 10 years. I know you've got crazy client stories. What stands out as a surprising moment or something like that?
You do see behind the curtain of your clients, and you do see pretty much everything. So I've seen a few things that were a little surprising, but it's all confidential, and the breastfeeding photos, babies in the bath, and so on, but it's all very appropriate and confidential. I tell people, think of me as your photo doctor. There's no judgment, and I've seen it all, and I don't even think about it after I've sorted it away. I think the biggest joy for me is just how appreciative people really are. I mean, even when they're writing me a big fat check, they are just so appreciative to have this done because they really didn't think their photos would ever get organized or get preserved. I've had people say, I really thought my photos were going to die with me and that my kids would never know what to do with them. My kids would not want them because who's going to want to take all these bins of a mess?
Yeah. Well, and even if they do take them, they're not going to know who's in this picture. Right.
Exactly. And that's one of the things, obviously, again, especially if we're dealing with previous generations, is we're very careful to identify everybody and make sure the whole point of preserving our photos is not only for us to enjoy them now, but to pass them on and to pass on those old photos of great, great grandfather and that farm that was in the family for decades and all these memories. I didn't live myself, but I can hopefully maybe live them through the photos.
Yeah. It's like in Coco, where Tio Hector's friend, he's being forgotten and he's like fading away. It's like, no, you got to put my picture up. Right. You got to remember me. So you got a couple part-timers on the team now looking for ways to grow and scale and build this into a little bit more time-leveraged operation. What's next for you? Where do you want to take it?
I think the next thing probably in order for me to grow further would be to move out of my home office and find rental space to work in, which the nice thing is it doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be retail space necessarily. It can just be warehouse space or something just where we can kind of spread out and have more people. It's going to be really just more people that can do more projects. Right now, I've actually got more projects than, again, no deadlines. So it just means they hang around longer. But I mean, I've kind of got more clients than I can.
But that's fascinating that if we had more space, we could take on more business or we had more people who could like, that's really interesting that even at thousands of dollars a project, people are paying it.
Yep. I cannot stress enough that there is plenty of work to go around. I'm doing it full time. If someone wants to do it as a side hustle, one or two clients a month, I'm quite confident that you would have no problem finding that. I would think even if you started talking to people just about you're thinking about doing it, hey, I heard about this photo organizing and I'm thinking about doing it because it sounds like something I would enjoy and that I would be good at. You should test it out and see what people's reactions are. You might find that there'll be several people right off the bat who say, I'd hire you in a minute.
Yeah.
I'd hire you in a minute.
You're like, okay, press here.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Here's my Venmo. Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of the reason is there is so much anxiety around photos, not only around the photos in the attic, because again, once those are gone or once those are lost, they're gone forever. There's so much anxiety about that. And then there's so much anxiety on all the photos on our phone because everybody knows they have way too many photos on their phone. And every time we go looking on our phone to say, oh, I want to show you this great picture of my daughter from camp. Hold on.
Yeah, scroll.
Hold on. Yeah. And that just reinforces, like, I've got too many photos. I've got to find a way to get to those great photos quickly. So there's so much anxiety around photos, I think, really, that the idea that you could relieve some of that anxiety and some of that stress is huge, is a huge bonus and a huge benefit to what you could offer them. So I would start talking about it.
Yeah. What a unique 21st century pain point. Like, I got too many pictures. Like, what a time to be alive. Like, the truth is, the film really wasn't free. Like, here's the mental cost to it. But that's fascinating. So mymemoryfile.com, thephotomanagers.com is the industry association. If you hit up thephotomanagers.com/sidehustle download, Cheryl's put together a couple free resources for us. One is 20 different types of potential clients that hire professional photo organizers. We've talked about the families preserving different memories, but lots of different types of people who would be potential prospects, potential customers in this space. And then the other resource is a set of worksheets that will help anybody considering entering photo organizing as a side hustle or as a full-time business to identify, okay, what's the menu of services that I'm going to offer and what kind of clients might be a match for those. So that's thephotomanagers.com/sidehustle download. And be sure to check that out over there.
And I actually wanted to add to that too. I actually told Kathy at the Photo Managers that for anybody who goes and downloads that free download and then decides to then join the Photo Managers, the first three people who do join the Photo Managers, I would be happy to give a free 30-minute consultation to answer any questions, give any tips, tell more about how I got into it and what kind of projects I do.
Yeah, very generous. Appreciate you sharing that. Again, at thephotomanagers.com/sidehustle download. Cheryl, thanks so much for joining me. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Find something that you love doing. And again, I love working with photos and I never thought it would have turned into a business. And it has. I mean, it's turned into a wonderful business. And I really, really love going to work every day. And your clients will know it too. But find people, find community that can support you. Because that's, especially if it's a side hustle where you're working independently, it's critical and can make or break the hustle.
But it's so lonely to be like, oh, I'm doing this thing, but I don't have anybody to bounce ideas off of or get feedback or even figure out what my next step is going to be.
Yeah, but there is a community here. So it's there to lift everybody up.
Very good. I think one of the biggest surprises for me was this market education component of like letting people know that such a thing exists. And then the reaction in a lot of cases, if there is budget in somebody's household income to allow for it, be like, oh, could you start with mine? Or here, I know three people that you ought to go to try and get that word of mouth spinning. But you can kind of start to play the local marketing playbook. I love the idea of sponsoring the school auction to get in front of 200-300 parents, even just only costs you a few hours of your time. And it may even just be a sampler of a larger project or a starter of that larger project. But that's actually your listener-only bonus for this week. It's my local marketing checklist, 10 proven ideas that you can use to increase the lead flow for your business. You can download that for free at the show notes for this episode at sidehustlenation.com/Cheryl, Cheryl with a C, or just follow the show notes link in the episode description and it'll get you right over there. Big thanks to Cheryl for sharing her insight. I'm taking a ton of notes, as I always do. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. And thanks for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share with a friend. We talked about the importance of word of mouth. So fire off that text message. Hey, did you know you can make money doing this? Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride. every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.